Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. The Black Sea Basin. These last days, there's turmoil in the Black Sea Basin that is extending in both directions from Ukraine, extending to Turkey in the south, extending to Romania and Moldova in the west. And of course, Russia's present in all three instances. I welcome Anatole to help me sort out some of the headlines that we're getting from Europe in these last days. We begin with Russia, of course, Russia and Ukraine. Anatole, a good evening to you. There was a meeting photographed purposefully attached to the Notre Dame rededication event last weekend, in which the president-elect of the United States, Mr. Trump, was walking happily with the president of France, Mr. Macron. And then they were joined at some point, and I don't know the sequence, with President Zelensky, who'd been invited to the dedication by the president of France. And they walked and talked, and there was in one instance where Mr. Trump shook hands with Mr. Zelensky. Later on, there was a comment in the news from Mr. Zelensky that I agree with Donald Trump, the war must end. How do you see that event now that it's a week later? Is that a significant turning point or public relations? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Well, I think it could be very significant. It's striking that after that, you know, Macron has gone to Warsaw, and there have been reports of the Poles and the French talking about European peacekeeping force for Ukraine, though only after, peace is achieved. So it does seem that Trump, contrary to some of the fears about him, is not simply going to, agree to Russian terms. At the very least, he wants to signal to Russia that, the US will continue support while the negotiations continue. Now, of course, what the US will agree to in the negotiations themselves, we simply don't know. But I think this must be quite reassuring to the Ukrainians. Should be said, though, that as far as Russia is concerned, the idea of European forces of any kind in Ukraine is a non-starter. I mean, if that is part of the US proposal, the Russians simply will not agree and the war will go on.
NATO is part of this story, but I'm not sure where. For example, this day we have headlines from Europe that the NATO countries, or some part of them, are talking quietly or behind closed doors about increasing their contribution to 3% of their annual GDP by 2030, which means that Mr. Rutte, the new General Secretary, is moving toward the future, not just thinking of a Ukraine ceasefire or a Russian stand down from aggression, but enhancing the whole of the European defense industry. Is that significant here, too, that the Europeans want to show what you'd have to say is hawkishness going into these possible negotiations?
Well, I mean, the plan to do this by 2030, of course, goes far beyond the negotiations, unless, God forbid, the war is still going on then. But yes, I mean, there is a very general consensus in the elites in Europe, most of them, that Europe needs stronger armed forces of its own. But, of course, the question is, where the money is to come from and whether the populations will go along with this. Because, you know, first the German and now the French governments have collapsed due to battles over the budget. And certainly, I mean, if European the European economies remain stagnant as they are at the moment, unless Germany is prepared to agree to massive European borrowing, there just is not the money to maintain Europe's very generous, you know, social welfare and health systems, and hugely to boost military spending. Also, I mean, 2030 is perhaps more realistic than some of the figures that we've heard. But even so, the problem you see is that the European military industries have declined to such an extent that Europe can't actually, in the short term or even possibly in the medium term, produce anything like the number of armaments that it would need seriously to rearm, unlike the United States. So that means that a lot of this money is not going to go to rebuilding European industries. It's going to go to the United States. Now, that is another, you know, huge barrier to European populations agreeing to pay for this, because, you know, it's notorious in the US Congress, the way that you get higher and higher and higher military spending is to spread it around the different states and localities, you know, and thereby get, you know, congressmen and senators from both parties to agree. You can't do that in Europe to nearly the same extent. So there is a real, you know, problem there of money and democratic will.
The Black Sea Basin. The headlines from Romania these last days have been extraordinary. Right now we have The Economist looking over them, concluding why Romania canceled a pro-Russian presidential candidate. At the same time, we have the positive news that Romania and Bulgaria have joined the Schengen area travel rights starting in 2025. That has to do with their EU membership. I mentioned Romania because they did cancel a presidential election, because the explanation for the cancellation, I think they used the word annulled the presidential election as if it was a marriage, was that the Russians had authored interference, manipulating TikTok, I think, was part of the conversation. And now we have a Romania without a president, forming a national government, we're told, and very fearful that Russia is not only manipulating the vote in Romania, but also that Moldova next door, which is Romania once upon a time, a very small state within Odessa Oblast, has now declared an emergency because of the news that Russia is going to cut off the natural gas flowing through Transnistria. You know all these things, but it certainly looks like there's fresh upset in the Black Sea Basin. Do I read that correctly?
Well, yes. But, you know, there is something else to look at in Romania, which is, you know, okay. So although concrete evidence has not been provided, it does seem likely that, that, you know, Russian money played a big part in, you know, all this propaganda for Georgescu on TikTok. But, you know, people don't just vote for a candidate because TikTok tells them to. And it wasn't just Georgescu. I mean, the pro-European Union, pro-Western candidate who made it to the second round is also an anti-establishment candidate. I mean, the point is that the two parties that have basically alternated in power in Romania, you know, virtually since independence or since the 1990s, have been crushingly defeated in these elections. And that, you know, suggests that there is huge popular discontent in Romania with the establishment, with the way things are going, with the state of the economy, with all these things. And that, of course, reflects wider patterns in Europe. I mean, it's more dramatic, but, you know, Le Pen is well on course to winning the next French presidential elections, unless she's disqualified by, you know, a court case. You have populist parties surging in Germany. The thing is that, you know, large parts of the European populations are profoundly unhappy with the status quo. Now, Russia, of course, is going to try to exploit this, but it didn't create it. You know, there are much deeper economic and also cultural factors at work here. And one of them is, that a great many people are very discontented with basically orders from Brussels that they see as going against both their economic interests and their national interests and their national or traditional cultures. I mean, this is obviously something that Orban has been running on successfully for many years now. And that is, and you see that in Georgia, by the way, as well. And that, I think, is profoundly worrying for the European project. Von der Leyen, you know, the EU president, whatever she calls herself, you know, has just been off to South America to sign a trade deal with the countries of Mercosur. Now, it seems that she has taken, you know, advantage of the current political paralysis in France and the, you know, Poland's obsession with Russia to do this, because there had been tremendous opposition to this from European farmers, with the French and the Poles, as usual, in the lead, because, you know, Argentina, Chile, Uruguay can now export much larger quantities of food to Europe. And you could see a great, you know, backlash against this. That in turn, of course, is tied up with the question of whether Ukraine can ever get into the European Union, because that too basically implies ruin for a lot of West European farmers. And they have repeatedly shown their ability to push back against, you know, anything that threatens them, not just in terms of votes, but also, of course, public unrest and demonstrations. So there is a growing, you know, slow motion tectonic shift going on in Europe. But of course, as with tectonic shifts, this also produces from time to time earthquakes.
A major concern for all the European states is immigration. And there are reports that there are no more applications from Syrians being considered in Germany. And there are voices raised in Germany to return the Syrians, up to 1 million who are there now. When we come back, Syria is a European challenge. This is CBS Eye on the World with Anatole Levin. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at WashableSofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit WashableSofas.com today and save. That's WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.